630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
All right, really appreciate you tuning in tonight. The Oilers have traveled from Montreal to Toronto. Obviously an odd week for them. They did practice every day. Had some spirited scrimmages and stuff like that yesterday. And didn't quite work on that type of stuff today, but they're getting through it. Kind of funny, coaches always want more practice time. I don't know if they wanted this much. Maple Leafs and Senators are tied 1-1 early in the third period. Mikheyev and Brown are the goal scorers. So, well, we'll give you the ifs. We'll give you the ifs. If Toronto wins, they go to 44 points. And Edmonton and Winnipeg each have 42. If the Leafs lose in regulation time, they would remain tied with the Oilers and Jets and only have one game in hand on the Oilers. So that would be it's a big one Saturday anyway. But, I mean, there's obviously been some separation here. Toronto, Winnipeg, and Edmonton looking almost assured of being in the playoffs. Montreal's in a strong position. Even though they're only 2 points ahead of the Canucks, they have 6 games in hand. They're 4 points ahead of Calgary with 3 games in hand. So we've kind of had the top 4 separate here a little bit over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Saturday's game starts at 5. The face-off show at 6:30. Chad will start at 3:30. Going to be good to bring you a game here. It feels like a long time, even though it's only been a few days. Feels like a long time since I've talked to this gentleman. So I'm glad to welcome Manny Viveros back to the show, who's now the head coach of the Henderson Silver Knights in the AHL. Hey, Manny, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, Reed. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I appreciate you hopping on tonight. Obviously, when did we first talk to you? Was it PA?
Oh, yeah. My God, that's probably, we're looking over 30 years ago. You got a great memory.
Okay, yeah, but for you and I talking, it wasn't PA, you were coaching. Because it was Swift, right?
That's correct. That's
Swift.
Correct.
Yeah. I got my Saskatchewan city. So we talked to you then because you had a great team, and then you came here, and then it was Spokane, and then it was now it's Henderson. Was that the progression?
It certainly is. It's been whirlwind over the last few years here, but it's been really good. Had a great opportunity, had a great time in Swift Current. Obviously, we're lucky enough to have success there. Had a great year, personally, as far as being back home and, working with the Oilers, which is, obviously our St. Albert's our home. We wanted to have a chance to be able to, ever had a chance to work with the Oilers. And for us, that was a dream come true. Unfortunately, it never worked out that well, but, I had a great opportunity to go up to Spokane. Great organization, and then an opportunity. Kelly McKernan called me and offered me the job here in Henderson, and been absolutely wonderful so far we've been here.
I should point out, I was complimenting your career path. I wasn't trying to make it sound like you can't hold down a job. Just to be clear. So anyway, no, but it's just cool. We've been able to be in touch through these years, and you've been really successful. Okay, I gotta throw one at you, Manny. I don't often do this, but sometimes a listener sends me something that is too good to ignore. And this guy actually put his first and last name on, so maybe you know him, maybe you remember him. Danny McIntyre. He says, when you have Manny on the show, you have to ask him about his soccer career. He was fantastic in soccer, just like he was in hockey. Trust me, I played against him. That is from Danny McIntyre. What about your soccer prowess?
Oh, Reed, nice compliment. I growing up, my father is Portuguese. So when he came over to Canada, it was hockey. Obviously, being a Canadian, young Canadian, you played hockey. But in the summertime, my father, he loved the game. And so he coached me growing up and had made some great friends over the years in soccer and absolutely loved the sport, still do. And, a real nice compliment. I don't know if that was that good, but I just loved to compete and had a really good time. That's a really good friend.
Okay. Well, there you go, Danny. You got your text on the show. The Silver Knights are doing well. I want to ask you about a couple specific players, though, because I was checking Peyton Krebs, who went 17th overall in 2019. out of the Kootenai Ice, really good junior prospect. So what, so you guys had him, but now he's back in junior. What's the story there?
Yeah, no, Peyton came to us, obviously, after the World Juniors, and the poor young man, he's been in quarantine pretty well for almost 6 months now with being at the World Junior Tournament, and then coming to Las Vegas. He had to quarantine for almost 10 days or 2 weeks. And then going back again, he had to quarantine again, though. But, you know, he was really good for us. You know, unfortunately, we had to let him go back, but that's the agreement that the NHL and the CHL has. And he was really, really good for us, and he can be a really good pro.
All right. So I was looking at your roster and a couple names. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember when they drafted him. Oh, yeah, I remember when I drafted him. Some guys I'm not as familiar with, but it has all the birth dates. And you got guys born from the early 90s to the early 2000s. How is it different for you? I wonder how you approach it, just coaching guys at different stages in their careers. And you might have some guys who are career AHL guys, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's who they are. But other guys are hoping sooner rather than later they want to be in the NHL. So how is it having that mix?
Really good question, Reed. You know what? Fortunate enough, I had, you know, the opportunity to spend 3 years in the Western League coaching, you know, young players anywhere from 16 to 20, and 20-year-olds or 19-year-olds just on the cusp of turning pro. And then when I had the opportunity with working with Edmonton, having players like a young Kyler Yamamoto, you know, at 20 at that time, just finishing junior. So there was a really good mix of age groups where I had an opportunity to interact with these guys. And then, you know, these players here down in American Hockey League, same thing. You got your 20-year-old. We like to compare them as a 16-year-old in the Western Hockey League. First-time pro. You know, never been away, you know, living on their own. So there's a lot of similarities as far as how you approach these guys. Obviously, there's 4 years difference, but a lot of similarities. And we find, not just ourselves, but talking to a lot of other coaches in American Hockey League, that first year of pro for these players is a big adjustment. Obviously, you're playing against men, but just time management as far as living on your own, You know, paying bills, taking care of different things, and it is a big adjustment. And the ones that pick it up real quick and adjust real fast usually, you know, end up developing a lot quicker.
Yeah. Well, and you guys are off to an incredible start. I mean, Henderson's 13-3. The second place team is Edmonton's farm team, the Bakersfield Condors. They're 11-6-1 after starting 0-5. So, I mean, two red hot teams at the top of the division. But what's really been clicking for you guys? I mean, 13-3 is a great mark.
Yeah, you know what, Reed? It's been a combination of a lot of things. You know, we certainly have, a lot of good players on our hockey team. We're like everybody else. A lot of times we're at the will of the National Hockey League team. If there needs to be call-ups for the taxi squad, or if there's injuries on the big team, that, you know, they're going to take our players that are playing well. So we just have to adjust. That's one of the things that I really have to learn really quick here in the American Hockey League, that you have to expect the unexpected at times, especially going through the pandemic right now. So it's something that, we've got off to a pretty decent start. And, our division out here in the West is really good. Talking about Bakersfield, we played them four times now. And, we've been fortunate enough to beat them, a couple times here. But knowing that group and what we've seen from them, they're an excellent hockey team, obviously very well coached. And, they're going to be a formidable opponent going in the future.
You mentioned like how Peyton Krebs had to quarantine. What's it been like for you guys with the traveling and the games and the testing and just making sure everybody's safe and as many games as possible are going to be played here?
We're pretty well in the same protocol as National Hockey League. We're tested not as regular as NHL, but we are tested anywhere between 3 to 5 times a week, depending on our schedule. We've been, knock on wood, our group, in Henderson, we've been good. We haven't had one positive test since we started. Credit to the organization as far as the amount of testing that we do, plus also, more importantly, the credit to the staff and the players. Basically, we go to the rinks, we come home. If we're on the road, we travel, we're in our hotels, and that's all we do. So, it's been a real credit, not just for our club, but also in our league also too. So the numbers have been really low, which is a good thing. The kids, they want to play, and we want to get this our certain season finished in a positive way.
Yeah.
Manny Viveros joining us tonight on Inside Sports, the head coach of the Henderson Silver Knights. That's the AHL team for the Vegas Golden Knights. And that whole story with that franchise has been really incredible. I mean, what the Golden Knights have done in the NHL level, you guys are off to a good start. Tell me about sort of the vibe around the team. I mean, I know you're in close vicinity to the Golden Knights. Are you getting as much coverage and fan interest? And I know it's really different under COVID, but how is that side of it?
It's been outstanding. Since the time that my wife and I have been here in late October here, in Henderson itself, but not just Henderson, all of Las Vegas and me, coverage that we've got here has been really remarkable for being a minor league hockey team in a city where they have their parent club. It's a hockey city. You know, the ratings are here. You know, obviously, everybody knows how big the NHL is, but it's a hockey city. It's a Golden Knights city to begin with. And anything to do with the Golden Knights, the fans have been really interested as far as buying merchandise. And as far as the media part of it too, so it's been really impressive.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear, and I'm glad to have the chance to catch up with you because I know you're proud of your Edmonton roots, and you're a great success story for this city, and I'm glad the Silver Knights are doing well. So thanks a lot for checking in. Of course, we're going to keep in touch. We wish you all the best, Manny. Really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
That is Manny Viveros on the line from the Henderson Silver Knights. Yeah, I mean, what do you say? You had the Vegas Golden Knights into the Stanley Cup final, Western Conference final last year. Two of their first 3 years in the league, they at least make the final four. Now their farm team is 13-3 out of the gates down there. Good for Manny that he's had a good landing with that organization. Okay, we got to call a quick timeout. Happy to hear from you this evening, of course. 780-496-0063 is the CertainTeed hotline. CertainTeed professional grade building materials. That is also the number if you want to fire me a text message. Inside Sports on Chet. CONCACAF World Cup qualifying, Canada 3, Bermuda 0, 55th minute, games being played in Florida. NHL tonight. Now 2-1, Toronto leading Ottawa. 9 minutes left in the third. Spezza has the go-ahead goal there. About 6 minutes left in the third in Pittsburgh. Penguins up 3-1 on the Sabres. 1-0 Wild over the Blues in the second period. Also in the second, Chicago 2, Panthers 0. And 4-1, Predators leading the Red Wings. After 1, no score, Lightning and the Stars. The Golden Knights, with a goal from Max Pacioretty 40 seconds into the game, have an early 1-0 lead over the Colorado Avalanche. In the third, it's 2-2 Islanders and Bruins. Rangers up 7-3 on Philadelphia. Mika Zibanejad hat trick in that game. Devils and Capitals 3-3 in the third. About 5 minutes left in Columbus. It's 2-2 between the Hurricanes and the Blue Jackets. Cam Atkinson with his 12th of the season for the Jackets. Oilers and Leafs coming up on Saturday, 3:30 for the face-off show. The game will start at 5 here on 6:30. Chet, now, you know, we've been speculating this week about further adjustments to the Oilers' schedule. At one point, there was a chance, at least a chance, that they might have had a game tonight, probably against Ottawa, but I don't think the Leafs wanted to move out of that game. It's still possible that the Oilers could play a game Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe against Ottawa, maybe against Montreal. And, you know, that would lead to a Montreal-Ottawa game being rescheduled. But since the Oilers have been out here for so long, at least get them 3 games on the road instead of just 2. We'll see. Pierre LeBrun tweeted earlier today, hearing that the NHL has completed the rescheduling of games for Montreal, Edmonton, and Ottawa, believe there will be a game or two May 11th, which is the latest yet on the schedule. Don't think the NHL will announce changes until the Montreal COVID situation is cleared up. And Marc Bergevin, the GM of the Montreal Canadiens, optimistic on COVID precautions and his team coming back on Monday.
Sometimes the way the virus is spreading, and honestly, even the experts sometimes seems confused. it could sit in your body for 4 days, 3 days before it comes out. So what I can tell you is all the precautions have been taken by the league, the PA, and the Montreal Canadiens for the safety of our players. Yeah, there was one player that the test came back positive and there was close contact. So the league didn't want to take any chances. And then we retested again and it came back again. So far, I could tell you that it hasn't spread. So if we keep in the same pace until Monday afternoon, we should be okay to come back.
All right. So that is Mark Bergevin. So their next game is Tuesday against Ottawa. Remember, for the Canadians, it's actually four games off the schedule, the three against Edmonton and one against the Ottawa Senators on Sunday. So again, I'm not sure how they're going to tinker with next week. I know it's been discussed. I don't know if it's going to happen for sure, but as Pierre LeBrun pointed out, you could now have a game May 11th, which would become the new end of the NHL regular season, because it was supposed to end May 8th. They've already scheduled some games for May 10th, and now possibly a game in Canada here on May 11th. LeBrun also added to this. He says, in any case, if indeed the NHL managed to reschedule the North Division games without going past May 11th, it means they can start the playoffs by May 13th, which isn't much of a delay. The original playoff date was listed as May 11th. So there you have it. So we could have, I mean, right now the Oilers' schedule ends May 8th. We could have a game coming up on May 11th. It's funny, LeBrun also wrote this earlier today. He says, if you're confused why the official NHL standings on its own site says L7 for the Sabres streak, it's because they're on a 15-game winless streak and not losing streak. As the NHL does its record-keeping, losing streak only counts losses in 60 minutes. So, yes, you could actually play a full season and lose 82 games in overtime. And according to the NHL standards, you would not be on an 82-game losing streak. You would actually be on an 82-game unbeaten streak, because you weren't beaten in regulation time. You'd have 82 points. You'd be a 500 team. But it's bad for Buffalo, no matter how you look at it. And they're looking to, like, they're going to lose again tonight, down 3-0 to the Penguins late in the third. Okay, we got to call a quick timeout. Back after the news and weather. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Inside Sports on Chet. Good to have you tuning in tonight. No, we just had that spot there for, is that tomorrow, Kellen? Are they flashing back tomorrow?
Flashing back to 67 tomorrow.
1967. I'm not just trolling the Toronto Maple Leafs, but that's the first thing that comes to mind when I hear 1967. Last time the Toronto Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup, was it not 1967?
That's correct. Also the year of the big World's Fair in Montreal, where they built the island.
Oh, how did you know that? You're a smart lad.
Social studies. I paid attention in that class, at least in high school. But yeah, I always found that man-made island that they built in the middle of the St. Lawrence in Montreal as one of, like, just fascinating to me, what all they put on it and everything. And now it's home to, they still got the big biodome out there and
Is that the island, the racetrack?
Yeah, the road course for the F1, yeah. The Canadian Grand Prix.
Yeah, I've walked on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Expo 67. So they named the event after the baseball team.
Ooh.
Oh, maybe it was the other way around.
I think it was the other way around.
Maybe it was the other way around. Yeah. But what else happened in 1967? I honestly don't know. I am demonstrating my ignorance of years before I was born. Well, I probably have a lot of ignorance about years I lived in, too. 1967 in the United States. I wonder how many of these they're going to cover tomorrow. Ronald Reagan becomes governor of California. The Doors' self-titled debut album.
Ooh. Cool.
Oh, the first Super Bowl. I should have known that. It was not called the Super Bowl. It was called the AFL-NFL Championship Game. I don't think it was till the third Super Bowl they really started calling it the Super Bowl. So that's pretty significant.
Cool.
What else happened? Lots of stuff happened. Oh, Elvis and Priscilla got married. That's pretty significant. Kellen's like, who's that? You know who Elvis Presley
yes,
is?
Yes, yes. I know Elvis and Priscilla Presley.
That's, now, for our people our age, oh, Priscilla Presley, the woman from The Naked Gun.
Okay, yeah, sure.
You know who
I was going to say? I was going to say Lisa Marie's mom, but there we go.
Yes, well, there you go. Married from Elvis Presley from married Elvis Presley from 67 to 73. So they'll have a few things to touch on, but definitely from a sports perspective. I'm struggling talking tonight, everybody. I'm really sorry. It was the Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup the last time they won it. You know what's crazy, too? We're now up to 28 years since a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup. Now, maybe it'll end. Maybe it'll end in July of all times. 1993 is the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's getting to be a really long time. It's kind of sad, actually. The Grey Cup in 1967 was Hamilton 24, Saskatchewan 1. The Vanier Cup, I wonder if they're going to talk about this. The U of A Golden Bears won the Vanier Cup 10-9 over the McMaster Marauders. So that's pretty significant.
That's cool.
I wonder if they'll have anybody from that on. See, they should have asked me to help program the show. The Hart Trophy was won by Stan Mikita. And yeah, Leafs over Canadiens 4-2. And then in this offseason, the NHL added the six teams. They expanded. Which goalie is playing on Saturday for the Oilers? From Frustrated Fan. But no, he's trying to joke about it. I don't get your joke, Frustrated Fan. It doesn't make sense to me. He put LOL at the end. I don't get it. Sorry, I'm dumb, Frustrated Fan. Rob at Johnny's Lake says, nice beaver. Read my text, I dare you. I read it, Rob, and I'll leave it at that. People who understand the reference to something we were talking about a few minutes ago will get it. And we'll just leave it at that. He writes in, read my text, I dare you. I always love when people do that. Do we have our guest on the line? Still waiting for him. Well, that's okay. We can talk about the Naked Gun in 1967. Do you have a favorite sports year? I mean, I'm sure we have a lot of favorite events. I wonder if people have a favorite sports year. I mean, 1987 in Edmonton, you had the Oilers win the Stanley Cup in seven games over the Philadelphia Flyers. And then you had the Double E football team win the Grey Cup in thrilling fashion over the Toronto Argonauts with Jerry Cork making the last second kick and Gizmo pulling off one of the greatest runbacks in CFL history on the missed field goal return. So that would have been a big one for our city. 1993 would have been an interesting one because you had the Blue Jays winning the World Series. You had the Double E football team winning the Grey Cup, and that was the year the last Canadian team won the Stanley Cup. So there you go. Now, maybe some of you weren't cheering for the Montreal Canadiens, but that was a memorable one. The Canadiens won 10 games in overtime. They played 20 games. They won 16 of them. They played 11 overtime games and went 10-1.
That's insane.
Yeah, that was it was remarkable. I used to be able to list off all the overtime winning goals for the Canadiens. So the first game against Quebec, let's see if I can do this. Trust me, I'm not looking this up. I'm just going to try to jot it down. They blew, a 3-1 lead in the last 3 minutes of game one against Quebec and lost in overtime. They won, I think, game three at home against Quebec. I think Domfus got the game winner. Game five back in Quebec. I'm pretty sure Kirk Muller got the game winner, beating Ron Hextall 5-hole. Then they played Buffalo. Well, I don't remember all the game winners. Gilbert Dion had one of them. Remember him? He had a deflection goal. But they won three games in overtime in that series against the Islanders in the next round. I believe it was Guy Carboneau and Mike Keane. Do you remember Mike Keane? That got the game-winning goals. And then in the Stanley Cup final against Kelly Rudy and the Los Angeles Kings, Eric Desjardins got the game-winning goal in game two. He also got the game-tying goal on the power play when they challenged Marty McSorley's stick for being illegal. They measured it. Desjardins got the tying goal, and then he scored in overtime in the first minute on Kelly Rudy, becoming the first defenseman ever get a hat trick in a Stanley Cup final game. And then John LeClair got the overtime goals in both games three and four at the Forum in Los Angeles. So I can't remember who all scored against Buffalo. I know Gilbert Dion got one because he deflected it in and he was furiously pointing at himself. He was a little bit of a showboat. Carbonell might have got one in that series as well, and I just cannot remember the other one. But I think I got the other eight, or the, I guess the other nine. That was 1993. What were we talking about? JP writes in. He says, "Read my text. I dare you. Love the show, Reed. Thank you, JP." I didn't do it in JP's accent. We still owe JP an autographed picture of Rob Brown.
Yeah, but we did talk about the Habs and then the 93 Cup run and that stuff, so that kind of helps, doesn't it?
Vic says, that was the year when the Oilers and Double E had the cups, so the jokes were, why can they not drink tea in Calgary? Edmonton has all the cups. Well, that's a pretty good one, Vic. I like that one. I remember after the Oilers, you know, when was it? It was when the Flames got, because the Flames won the cup in 1989. And then I believe in 1990, they were eliminated early. Was that the floater goal when Krushelnicki was on the ice and batted at the puck and it floated in over the outstretched glove of Mike Vernon? But I remember, I think it would have been 1990.
That was first round 1990, was it not?
Yes.
LA and
yeah,
Calgary,
so
yeah.
That's what happened. And I remember the Edmonton Journal had, I can't remember who the cartoonist at the time, was it Yardley Smith or something like that? Who used to draw the cartoons in the Edmonton Journal?
That I don't know.
but anyway, so at this time, the Oilers had not won the cup yet in 1990. So he had a cartoon of a New York Islanders guy in front of a Stanley Cup, and he was holding up four fingers, and he said four because the Islanders won four in a row. And then Edmonton won four of the next six, I guess. So he had an Oilers player with Stanley Cups in front of him holding up the number four. And then he had a Calgary Flame swinging a golf club yelling four, F-O-R-E. I always remember that cartoon for some reason.
That's funny.
But there are a lot of jokes about teams that have not done well when it comes to the hockey department. 780-496-0063 is how you can get in touch. It's the CertainTeed hotline, CertainTeed professional grade building materials, pro all the way. All right, we'll try to connect with our special guest here. If we can't, we'll just keep going. Inside Sports on Chet. Justin Hall gets the winner in overtime. Maple Leafs over the Senators 3-2. Penguins shutting out Buffalo 4-0. Hurricanes beat the Blue Jackets 4-3 in overtime. Capitals get by the Devils 4-3. Rangers ring up the Flyers 8-3. Golden Knights lead the Avs 1-0 after one in the second period. Predators lead the Wings 5-1. Lightning up 2-0 on the Stars. After two, Chicago leading Florida 2-0, Wild leading the Blues 2-0, and the Islanders have just scored in overtime. Beauvillier gets the winner, 4-3. Islanders take down the Bruins. The soccer match, CONCACAF, 81st minute, Canada cruising up 5-1 on Bermuda. Okay, I double-checked the Canadians' overtime winners. I did okay, remembering the 10 overtime goals from 1993. I got Domfus and Muller in the first round. I could only remember Gilbert Dion in the second round against Buffalo. Carbonell and Muller also scored in the Wales Conference Final. I said it was Carbonell and Mike Keane. It was actually Carbonell and Stefan LeBeau who got the game-winning goals. And then, of course, in the Stanley Cup Final, I got those Desjardins, LeClair, and LeClair. So I had, seven correct, one name in the wrong place. Couple I couldn't remember. Not bad for hanging out on a Thursday night in my spare bedroom. Got an interesting message here from a young man who works over at Global Television. I'm actually on TV every Wednesday morning with this guy, Mike Sobel. says, born and raised in Toronto. I actually remember the night the Leafs won. And then he says, I'm probably your oldest listener tonight. I doubt that, Mike. I doubt that. Oh, and as he points out, of course, how could I not think of this for 1967 that they're going to have tomorrow for Flashback Friday with Chelsea and Shea? Canada's 100th birthday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that would have been a big hootenanny.
That's right. Tons of arenas being built around the country that year, too, as like centennial projects, I think it was called, right?
So. Even the curmudgeons would have had a good time at the hootenanny.
Mm-hmm.
Or so I'm told. Seeing some reports tonight that the Oilers could be interested in one of these three players. Brandon Sutter from the Canucks, Derek Ryan from the Flames, and Luke Glendening from the Red Wings. The one who appeals to me the most out of those three would be Brandon Sutter. Having said that, he's also the most expensive, therefore the most difficult to acquire. Yeah, they tried bringing in a couple players from Detroit last year, and Double A did what he could, but now he's with the Los Angeles Kings, and unfortunately, Mike Green decided not to take part in the tournament. Are you seeing this video of Pierre Dorion, Kellen?
I am not.
It's online. It's apparently Pierre Dorion reacting to Justin Hall's OT winner, throwing, I'm not sure what kind of beverage he has. Maybe a ginger ale. I doubt he'd be drinking beer during a game. But he gave it a pretty good toss after Toronto scored in overtime. It's worth looking up. It is funny seeing the reaction sometimes. 780-496-0063 is how you can get in touch by calling or texting. We were scheduled. Maybe we'll have to reschedule him because it's a pretty good story. And I was looking forward to talking to this guy. Theron Churchill, who grew up in Stettler, played for the Edmonton Wildcats, and now he's joining the Toronto Argos. He got drafted in the first round by the Argos in 2020, recently signed a contract. So good Alberta boy story. Lots of ties to Edmonton and Central Alberta. So I think we'll have to try to get him on another night because I was looking forward to talking to him. All right. 780-496-0063. Now people are texting me about money they've won. Sometimes I don't always get the context of the text. Or you may have texted me something earlier and I may not remember it. I just get a little mixed up sometimes. So the Oilers are going to play the Leafs on Saturday. Then they will play the Leafs on Monday. As I said, they could have a game Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not entirely sure, but then they're back home next Friday and Saturday. That's their immediate schedule. At the moment, April is not an overly busy month for the Oilers, but maybe some games will be inserted and or rescheduled along the way to help them make up these three games against the Montreal Canadiens that they have missed. So there you go. The season's going to extend, as Pierre LeBrun is speculating, until May 11th. The latest game is currently scheduled is May 10th. But LeBrun said once they reschedule Montreal, Edmonton, and Ottawa, that there's going to be a game on May 11th. So the playoffs would start on the 13th instead of the 11th, which isn't a huge delay from what they originally wanted. So just something to keep in mind there. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to look for the Oilers. They don't want to put too many games into that second week of May. So there are some gaps in the Oilers' schedule. In April, they don't play between April 21st and 25th. Now, easier said than done just to give them games because the other Canadian teams are playing. They go out east again, April 5th, Montreal, April 7th, Ottawa, April 9th, Ottawa. Maybe they give them an extra game there. And again, this is without comparing every other team's schedule immediately, but I have looked in the past and most teams are playing every second night. So there could be a pretty significant revamping of the North Division schedule to get all these games in. Rob says, I won 100 bucks from Mike Sobel. It would be cool to win 100 bikes as well. I won 100 bucks from Mike when I heard the cow. Mike did the kissing cow. You hear the cow and you phone in. I did not know about the kissing cow. I'm going to have to ask Mike Sobel about that when I'm on television with him on Wednesday.
I remember the kissing cash cow.
How long ago was that?
8-9 years ago?
Oh, geez, I was already working here. Shows you about how much I pay attention.
Yeah, it was big.
So you heard the cow. See, people think we're dumb for giving out canned hams.
Exactly, right.
You would name the animal. Like they literally just played an animal noise that you knew what it was, and then you could win money.
And I mean, I play an animal noise once a week.
Yeah, we do name the animal all the time. No one's celebrating us. No, that's right. We're freaks. It really is sad. Well, I'm glad that Rob won something from Mike Sobel. That's a badge of honor for Rob, for sure. Who is at Johnny's Lake, he says. Now, is that the name of a lake, or does Johnny own a lake? Is there a Johnny's Lake in Alberta? I don't know every lake in Alberta. I'm going to look it up right now. Just looking up a bunch of stuff on the fly tonight. I should look up how to host a radio show. That would probably help.
By the way, you were correct earlier. Canada has only played 19 international matches at Commonwealth Stadium. So,
see, I knew it wasn't actually that
many.
Take
the under. There we go.
Yes, I got the under. I said it was probably 20 maximum. Johnny's Lake is by Duffield.
Ooh.
What else is around there? Well, nothing. That's cool. So it's a little southeast of Wabman. So it's just off Highway 16. So I would drive by that general vicinity going to and from Evansburg back in the day. All right. So, thank you, Dave. West of Stoney. Appreciate that. See, you ask a geography question about rural Alberta, someone is going to chime in. We should start giving out canned hams for that. You know what, Dave? You're getting a canned ham. Mark it down. Put it on your calendar. All right. We're going to go. Adler's coming up next. We'll have the latest on the Oilers tomorrow. We might have a very special guest from the NHL office joining us as well to talk about the week that was. Stauffer has Oilers Now from noon to 2. Thanks to Dave Campbell. He's the producer of Inside Sports. Kellen Kennedy, your studio operator. My name's Reed. All the best.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.